Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, December 10th, 2018. We have a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, wow, it's going to kind of get a little bit, kind of difficult out there. We have a small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect through this afternoon, but a gale warning in effect from late tonight through Tuesday afternoon. So what does all that mean? Well, a small craft advisory, as you can hear from the name, is an indication to smaller vessels that they really ought to think twice before they go out in this kind of weather. It's 20 to 34 knot winds, which is pretty typical for this time of year out there. But then we have a weather system coming in. I mentioned earlier, if you heard me do the weather, that we have temperatures are going to kind of warm up on late tonight. And by tomorrow morning, we're going to have a heavy rain coming through, maybe kind of a little bit of an atmospheric river event, Pineapple Express kind of thing. Winds are going to be up in the 30s. It's going to be raining like mad. It's going to be a little warmer. And with that will be gale winds, gale force winds. That means 34 to 47 knots are possible in that range. So winds as high as 54 miles per hour. That's pretty serious out there. Southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming south 10 to 15 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves from the southwest 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 10 feet at 15 seconds. And I was looking ahead at the marine weather forecast, and toward the end of the week, by Thursday, the prediction is that wave heights could reach 19 feet. So 19 is pretty close to 20. When that happens, we could see some interruptions in ship traffic coming and going on the river. So some things to watch out for. And today we're going to hear more from my interview with Kent Williams. He is the executive director of the Fort Vancouver Seafarers Center at the Port of Vancouver, Washington. It's a place where seafarers can get off of a ship while the ship is in port there, and they can just have a quiet moment at sea without the vibration of engines. A lot of work to do. They can worship if they please. They can go. They'll take them shopping. So it's a really terrific organization that serves probably tired and homesick mariners who come into the Port of Vancouver. So we're going to be talking more about the origins of the center, how it came to be over 50 years ago. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. 2 inbounders, 6 in the Astoria and Rice Island anchorages, and 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. The Felicity Ace is a car carrier coming into the river today. Probably see her past Astoria around 11:30 a.m. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the Port of Portland with brand new Hondas on board. She'll probably be there by about 5:30 p.m. at the Port of Portland. The Hanton Trader 1 is arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She's a wheat ship. She will arrive in the anchorage at about probably a little bit after midnight tonight, so early Tuesday morning. In the Astoria and Rice Island anchorages, just off the downtown waterfront in Astoria and a little bit upriver, the Rigi Venture is heading to Portland to pick up wheat, leaving around 11 p.m. You might see her in Portland by about 5 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And we have the Global Trinity, the Silvergate, the Seabiscuit, and the Aristides awaiting orders, along with the London 2012, which is a little bit upriver in the Rice Island area opposite Tongue Point. In our outbounders, we have the Kerveros. She's leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board, leaving around 8 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1 p.m. The Pinnacle Bliss is leaving Kalama carrying wheat at about 11:30 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 4:30 p.m. The Plate Queen is leaving Portland carrying potash at about noontime. You might see her pass Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. And the Interlink Amenity is leaving Vancouver, bentonite clay on board, leaving about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. Bentonite clay is one of those mineral cargoes that it's an example of a cargo that is traded widely in the world, used in a lot of industrial uses. I like to joke that it's used for kitty litter because it is one of the materials that are used sometimes in kitty litter. But it's an industrial, it's very absorbent. It's used to pull the sediment out of wine. It's used to absorb things. You know, if you had an oil spill on your, or something spill on the floor of your garage, you might throw kitty litter on it. That's because it may have bentonite clay that can absorb liquids and kind of trap them. So bentonite clay is an example of the dry mineral kinds of cargoes that we export here. The Columbia River is a very big area for exports of raw materials. So you see a lot of things like this, potash, soda ash, things like that going out of the river. We also see a lot of agricultural products like corn, soy, and wheat going out as well. Well, speaking of ships coming and going, and we'll talk a little bit about a center at the Port of Vancouver, Washington, that is dedicated to the people on those ships that are bringing us all of those things that we use and carrying all those raw materials around for us. I've been talking with you last week and this week again from an interview that I did sharing that. I went to the Fort Vancouver Visitor Center at the Port of Vancouver recently and gave a talk there at a holiday party that they had. And I got to interview the executive director, Kent Williams, about this unusual place that is a really terrific place for people to get off a ship and take a break. And we're going to talk with Kent today about how the center got started.
And the reason that this organization was founded is that a college girl in 1963 who's going to Willamette saw them at Esther Short Park, which has since been renovated. There's a beautiful Hilton Hotel, and a lot of cooperative money has gone into developing the area. It has many, many festivals and so forth. But in 1963, it was rough, and there were bars and pawn shops and, you know, the usual kind of waterfront things that you'd imagine. And so this girl thought, we have to do something. So she arranged to go to Japan on a Japanese freighter, which in 1963, for a woman that is going to college to do that, and she's from Vancouver, she did it. And then she went over to Taiwan and wrote her family. And her dad was associated with First United Methodist Church here, which is a big Methodist church up on Main Street. And they had a meeting and decided that they should try to start a seafarer center. Now, this is an idea that came grassroots from the people who, it's not like the East Coast where they have 350 years of maritime experience. And there are many international centers and religious-based centers and so forth. Out here on the West Coast, we have a lot of commercial activity on vessels. But there's a Seattle Seafarer Center, which we hope you'll visit if you go up to Seattle. There's one in Oakland, which is a challenging port because of the number of containers. It's a container port. Now, we're a break bulk or freighter port. And Long Beach is like the second or third largest port in the world. Well, they're so busy getting the containers off the ships and getting ready to move, and the ships are lined out in the harbor, that many times it's hard to get a hold of the crewmen, even if they have a break, get them off those enormous ships, get them out of the huge port area, even to get them to someplace where they could get some chips and soft drinks or something, just something to take on their trip.
And that was Kent Williams talking about about the origins of the Fort Vancouver Seafarer Center at the Port of Vancouver in Washington. It's interesting, the restrictions. I've talked about this with you about ships that are anchored here off Astoria, where the sailors, before 9/11, there was a long history of sailors getting off the ships here in Astoria. People remember very fondly the Russian sailors coming off the ships into town. They spent money. They were welcomed by the local community. Security concerns mean that really can't happen in that sort of relaxed way that it did. In order to get off the ships, the people on board need a visa, and they also need the support of people at a place like the Seafarer Center. They can't just get off and walk around the port. It's actually illegal. So the volunteers and staff there at the center will take them in vans and bring them to the center and take them shopping. And so they need that escort here in the U.S. in order to be allowed to get off the ship. So it's a little more complicated these days, but that Vancouver Center does a wonderful service for those mariners. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.